Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's a Hard Knicks Life. It is a Hard Knicks Life. A Hard Knicks Life. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Life. It's a Hard Knicks Life. It is a Hard Knicks Life. A Hard Knicks Life.
Knicks fans, and what is up, Barry, motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
And a good day to Jay, a.k.a. Blanderson Hooper.
Good day to you as well, Craig.
Just had to start the show all over, because Barry doesn't want us asking for reviews anymore, so we're not asking for reviews anymore. Don't leave us any reviews if you listen to this show, but you can always call us.
That's right. 516-33-MESH-1. That's 516-336-3741. Any response to what you hear tonight? Any response to what you hear after the next Nick games? We love getting post-game calls from you guys.
And please subscribe to the one podcast that is finally ready to apologize. Blandy, maybe... maybe. I don't even know if I want to make that claim that we are ready, but maybe we're ready. Blandy, play Abu Shaki.
Okay.
Play fucking Abu Shaki.
When is Blandy apologizing to Cam Reddish to Hard Knicks Life?
Listen, I think it is Blandy. Time.
What did he say?
When is Blandy apologizing
to Cam Reddish?
That's so funny that Abu Shaki...
when is Blandy apologizing to Cam Reddish to Hard Knicks Life?
Abu Shaki, I had the same exact thought a few days ago. And I thought to myself, I said, I wonder if I should bring it up to Craig. Craig, should this be a weekly or every episode thing where we say, Blanderson, is this the episode that you're ready to apologize to Cam?
I'm not going
to
apologize. Why would I apologize?
Blandy's not going to apologize to anybody, I guess.
Right. I mean, I don't need to apologize. He's now playing better. So, yeah, he's worked his way into this rotation. He's become a vital part of it. Yeah,
I don't need to apologize.
In the beginning, he sucked. Nobody expected anything from him.
Worthy of the starting spot.
Over anybody else for sure right now. I mean, okay. Quentin Grimes hasn't done anything. He hasn't shown you anything. He hasn't gotten on the court. So, yeah.
What would Cam Reddish have to do for you to apologize? Or will you never apologize?
I would never apologize.
He'll
never apologize.
Anderson would never.
Okay. Why? Yeah. For what? For being, for questioning and being a little unsure? I mean, there's no reason
to
apologize.
So, is it just the wording? You don't want to apologize, but will you admit that you're enjoying Cam Reddish a little bit?
Well, he's helping us win, so of course. I mean, there I'm not going to, you know. He's
that's
helping
a,
us
that's
win.
Good
that's
enough.
All that matters.
I think that's good enough, too.
That's good enough.
Well, hopefully that's good enough for Abu Shaki.
I'm ready to apologize. I wanted Cam off this team. Did you? I don't remember. You did?
Two weeks ago.
Cam has suddenly become one of my favorite Knicks players to watch. I don't even know why, but I like watching him. Like
because
watching
he's
his
skilled.
D, I like he has some game. I mean, he's had obviously three good games in a row, pretty good games. 26, 19, I think, 10, but he still came up huge defensively. Yeah. And he's just a lot of fun to watch out there. And especially with RJ struggling the way he's struggling, Cam looks pretty fucking good
right now.
Dude, and in a game where Cam started and had 10 points, and you know, just a few weeks ago we were saying this guy's not even going to crack the rotation. He's getting 37 minutes in a tight game. Yeah. So, I mean, come on, that shows you all you need to know.
And coming up big in the clutch, right? Some key buckets lately in the final minutes.
Yeah. Yes.
Guys, basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all your sports wagering info, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. See how I set that up, Barry?
Yeah, it was nice.
Had to do it. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, the NBA, the NHL, MMA, tennis.
Yep, it didn't work. There you go. Oh, tennis? You want a tennis racket now?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just supposed to know that you want tennis?
That was nice.
I think that actually worked for tennis.
It did sound like it.
Boxing and even golf. Oh, tennis?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that works. It could
kind of work.
I think so.
Works for tennis.
I don't know how much different a tennis ball sound would be.
Backhand? Backhand?
Two-handed? I thought you were like
two-handed backhand.
I thought you were pulling the chain on a
oh, like a chainsaw, lawnmower?
On a chainsaw on that one.
All right. Head on over to betonline.ag to join. If you can get like a chainsaw sound, that would be great. And get your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV to receive your rewards. Bet online where the game starts. Mm-hmm. No show me the money or anything?
Oh, sorry. I'm good. I already got a couple of things in there.
Okay. Well, guys, West Coast trip began. Thought it was going to be a nightmare of a West Coast trip.
I know.
Me too.
But we start off with the greatest dinner this Knicks team has ever had, apparently. I saw this great tweet. I think it was that guy Travis Ryan on Twitter last night after the Knicks beat the Nuggets for their second straight win. I mean, shocking wins, right? Beat two teams that they do not beat on the road. First time they beat the Nuggets in Denver since 2006.
That's crazy.
The Nuggets and the Jazz back-to-back. Travis Ryan tweeted out, what did they eat at that dinner? What could they have possibly eaten? Because whatever it did the trick.
Julius Randle. Rocky Mountain Oysters.
Rocky Mountain Oysters. Julius Randle called a team dinner.
Oh, no, wait, that was in Utah.
And they've totally turned things around. Defense has turned around. Barry, what do you think they ate at that dinner?
I don't know, dude. I don't know what they ate. I'm just glad they went. I thought in this West Coast trip, at this point, they'd be sitting at 0-2. I really did. I thought they were going to go 0-3, to be honest with you. Two good wins and a hard-fought game last game. Look, 500 team, they're back on the winning side of it. Sometimes they're one game under. Sometimes they're one good over, where they're 8-7 right now. I mean, I'm still looking for from this team like a statement win. I don't think that Denver one was it. Look, that was a great win.
What are you talking about?
No Jokic.
Exactly. So that's the whole thing. And
doesn't
look,
matter.
This, even without Jokic, it's a great team. I mean, a lot of people were predicting this team was going to be number one in the West.
They were 10 points down. The Knicks were 10 points down.
10 points. Look, great comeback game. Look, against Memphis, they didn't pull it out. That was a great game. It's still not a statement win,
yes,
Craig.
Yes, it is.
Not
yes,
without
it
Jokic,
is.
It's not.
Well,
it's a good
luck.
Win.
Good,
it's
enjoy
a good
watching
win, a great
the rest
win.
Of the season, then, if that's not a statement win. You're never going to see
I'll give them all
one.
The credit, Craig, but it's not a fucking
yes,
statement win. I need them to go into a team, beat a team that's way better than them. This is a better team than them. And again, it was second half of back-to-back. Praise to the Knicks. Great job. It's not a statement win. I haven't had that victory yet.
Yeah,
Craig.
It is. Coming off of that embarrassing OKC loss, literally, we were all talking about firing Tom Thibodeau. We were talking about
the season is basically over.
I'm not off
right?
that train.
And then they beat the Jazz. But the Jazz, are they overachieving this season?
Yes.
Probably.
No, they are.
So they didn't beat a great team. And then, like you said, Jokic was out. All right.
A back-to-back MVP winner.
Yeah, but still, it was the second night of a back-to-back trip on the West Coast for a team that just days ago was good for dead, according to most of us. and they come back from 10 down in the fourth quarter to pull out that game. We don't win
games
like
that.
That
was impressive. Very impressive.
Feel, I know you didn't watch a game live, and maybe it affected how you watch a game the next day, and you knew they won. It affected how you thought about it. But that was, I was as pumped up as I've been after a game in those final minutes as I've been in years.
No, you should be. It was great. It was great. Again, big picture, looking at this game, and again, taking in all the variables, this wasn't... Look, I can't come down on the Knicks in this game. It was a great fucking win. You should feel awesome about it.
It wasn't good enough for Barry.
And you should be super pumped.
It wasn't good enough for Barry.
But it's not
good enough. It's, oh, fucking
no.
A, man.
Not for me to feel great about
the
season.
You're going to be miserable every game then. Come on.
And you're going to have games where you feel like this team is on top of the world, and then literally the next game after, you're going to be like, they should fire everybody. They should fucking rebuild. This team fucking sucks.
So what? Yes.
Up and down, up and down, up and down.
That's what this team's going to be this year. Absolutely.
It is. But again, you were facing a good team without the head of the fucking snake. Jokic wasn't even on the court at all. He was out. And again, down 10, fourth quarter, the whole thing. And again, you're usually on the second half of a back-to-back, especially out west, especially at that altitude, guys are dragging their feet in the second half. Especially after the big first half that Randall had and all that. He did not come out great in the third quarter. He showed up in the fourth, that's for sure. The fact that he did that and the fact this team did come back, that's a lot of praise, a lot of credit. I'll give them all of that. But, I mean, and you want to put it up there as, you know, probably their best win of the season? I'll give you that as well. But it's not a win that knocks my socks off.
It should. Because it's not just that they won. They didn't just win some boring game against Denver. That shit was intense. You had Julius Randle diving on the floor to get that steal and get it to Brunson.
I know.
That wasn't a statement fucking play for Julius Randle in that game.
Amazing. And it came right after he had another steal just before that and a couple points at the other end. He was amazing.
That was an intense game. They didn't just eke it out. They didn't just get a win. That wasn't a normal game. You know, we see a lot of the games during the season, they suck. We just win or lose. That game was great. Jalen Brunson, all right, 21.7 assists, 5 boards. Randall, 34, 11, and 4.
He carried
them. Jericho Sims has been incredible, right? Mitch has been out. Jericho Sims is looking, I mean, he's getting more comfortable every game.
Every time he jumps, he goes higher.
He's just been filling in really, really well for what he is and who he's replacing. He's been filling in really well. You can see game by game, he's just developing more chemistry with these guys. They know where to find him. He's been doing more and more on the court between the steals and the blocks and the rebounds. Yeah, I'm really, really happy with the way that he's been playing. It's overachieving to me.
And they wouldn't have won that game without him. The way he defended Jamal Murray there towards the end, I think Thibodeau took out Obi. And I'll compliment Tom Thibodeau there. He took out Obi for defensive possession. Defense. Sims went in and really went one-on-one defending Murray. And Murray couldn't do anything. And I think that basically won them the game right there. That could have easily went the other way. So that was incredible. RJ Barrett has been struggling, right?
Oof.
RJ. I mean, I think he was struggling. He's been struggling for a little bit. And then against the Jazz, it started to come out that he wasn't feeling well. But he does not.
Playing,
he does not stop. He does not stop shooting.
He's hurting the team.
He does not stop shooting, RJ.
No. And I hope it's that he's sick. It's just, he's been a liability. He's been detrimental to the team, and I hate to say it. And again, I'm glad that he's sick, because if he wasn't, I'm starting to get the feeling. It's like, is the best RJ Barrett that we've seen to date, is that the best version of RJ Barrett that we're ever going to see? And if that's the case, it's a big disappointment, right? Because you feel like at this point in his career and the way he's developed, and again, I'm talking about the best that we've ever seen him. Is that his best? Because if it is, it's like, I mean, maybe you should move off this guy. And again, that's why it's like, I'm glad that he's sick, because maybe this is temporary. And maybe when he gets healthy, he'll pick up where he left off and then hopefully continue on a better track. I'm just, you start to get the feeling that maybe it's not. Maybe he's just going to revert to the best version of him that we have seen to date, which isn't horrible, but it's not great.
It wouldn't be so bad if he wasn't playing like he wasn't sick. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's still doing everything he normally tries to do, and he's sick. And a lot of that shit doesn't work when he's 100%, let alone now. And we've talked about how he looks like he's running in sand when he's healthy. And now that he's sick and he's dragging, it's even worse. Did you guys see the play where he drove the lane? There was like three people on him and quickly was wide open in the corner at the bottom of the screen. And he just took like a horrible shot. And you could see quickly just kind of like threw his arms up there. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Even when you're at your best, that's a horrible
play. Notice that. But I mean,
on Twitter.
Like you're saying, he feels like shit. Fine. You know, maybe there's other ways you can help the team. But we compliment him on his ability to just keep shooting and to not think about how he missed his last shot. He's never afraid to take a shot, but come on. At some point,
isn't a scrimmage. It's not preseason, dude.
He was 0 for 9 from 3 against the Nuggets.
And remember,
I mean, when do you stop shooting the threes and just help your team in other ways?
And just a few games ago, when Thibodeau decided to bench him and Brunson, and not play them at all in the fourth quarter. And we said, you know what? RJ's been clutch before. He's had bad first halves. You should give him a chance. I mean, this Denver game, he was awful. He wasn't even close. And then to play him that much, you know, down the final, they took him out. They didn't let him play those final minutes, which was smart. But, like, he was still playing too many minutes for a game that he was just dead awful to play 31 minutes in. When you have other guys that are fully capable, you know, in a game that you need to come back from behind, he should. I was just staring at the screen. What is he still doing out there? Sit the guy down.
Clearly, Fournier is officially 100%. Might as well be off of this even team, because if Thibodeau couldn't bring him in that situation against the Nuggets when RJ is sick, 0 for 9, 4 for 18 from the field, and you're still not bringing Fournier in, the guy that you've been starting for the past couple years, like nonstop, you refuse to take him out of the starting lineup, and now he's just totally dead to the bench. I was shocked that Thibodeau didn't bring in Fournier for him.
Right, but don't they sometimes say, like, because it's the same thing last year with Kemba, I think, where, like, you can't keep yo-yoing, putting a guy in, then dropping him out of the rotation, then put it, so maybe he just doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, you want to give it a stretch of games and say, all right, I'm going to stick with this and give it a good, you know, decent sample size and see
RJ,
how it works.
But except RJ's got pneumonia or whatever he's fucking playing out
but
there.
So what about Grimes?
Yeah, don't make it.
You know, what about Quentin? Or, you know.
Well, Quentin's clearly not healthy enough to play. I don't know what. He's not healthy enough to play. We've seen him play like twice in the past couple weeks, and it was for 8 minutes at a stretch. And then he sits games out in between. He's not healthy, obviously. Unless we think they're just not playing him because he's not good enough.
I mean, how could that be?
I can't imagine.
They soured on him that quickly? It can't be that.
Well, the thing is, look, if you are going to tighten this thing up to a 9-man rotation, you know, and again, I don't think deep down Tibbs wants to go 10 guys. Then there is no place for Grimes. Derrick Rose finally had a good game. I think this was Derrick Rose's best game against Denver. He looked a little bit more like himself. He was consistent. He was hitting the shots he should have hit. Unless you're ready to bench Derrick Rose, where's Grimes going to come in? Cam Reddish is playing too good. You know, there's really not a spot for him.
I mean, yeah, if you're sticking to a 9-man rotation, then no. I mean, for the first time in the whole time Tibbs in here, he's going to stick to a 9-man rotation at the expense of Quentin Grimes. It's a little surprising. You know, you don't stretch it to 10 for Quentin Grimes, wouldn't trade for Donovan Mitchell in the offseason.
I mean, you're talking about him like he's fucking Lou Williams. The guy's been in the league for a year.
No, I'm talking about him like the guy that they're touting him to be. The untradeable, untouchable Quentin Grimes. That isn't good enough to make the stretch rotation beyond 9 men, a rotation that Thibodeau up until 8 days ago was perfectly fine bringing to 11. You know, so it's not like Thibodeau's been is a believer in a 9-man rotation for his whole career.
Yeah, the thing is, if you decide to sit Derrick Rose and put Quentin Grimes in for those minutes, and now you got veteran Derrick Rose sitting next to veteran Evan Fournier for too many minutes together on the bench, they're going to start talking and be like, what the fuck are we doing here? You got to manage that whole thing too.
We'll see what happens here over the next few weeks. I mean, I can't imagine that Quentin's never going to get into this rotation.
No, me neither. Me neither.
Can't.
But then you start to think, okay, well, maybe, I mean, how much of it last year, as good as he was when he was in there, but was the catalyst Derrick Rose's injury, and they needed another guy in there, and he proved to be worthy of it. But again, now Derrick Rose is a healthy Derrick Rose that's capable of getting, you know, his 15 to 20 minutes. Quentin Grimes resumes back to the bench next to Miles McBride, and your time will come at a later date.
Yeah, and that's what we held back for Donovan Mitchell, who, by the way, the Knicks are 8-7. I don't know if the Cavs played tonight, but the Knicks are only a half a game worse than the Cleveland Cavaliers.
What are they,
when I checked after the game.
Let's see. Yeah, they're 8-6.
Cavs are 8-6. We're 8-7 now. It's amazing how that happens so quickly here in the beginning of the season. You guys want to hear some voicemails?
Sure, let's get into it.
Of course. Right. Why wouldn't we?
These voicemails are brought to you by BetStamp, Barry. Tell them about it.
Sure. BetStamp, if you were wondering, is a fucking app you should have. I shouldn't say fucking in an average. Is an app that you should have if you're placing bets in any sport. Because if you're only using one or two sportsbook apps, which you probably are, you're doing yourself a disservice. And BetStamp is here to tell you that your money is well-deserved and well-earned. And BetStamp is going to compare all the sports books for you. It does all the line shopping for you, so you'll know where to place your next bet to get the best odds. For example, let's say this weekend, New York Giants are playing the Detroit Lions, and you just want to bet the Giants outright. You're going to throw $100 on them. If you have BetStamp, you'll know that you could go on FanDuel, place your $100 bet, and you'll get another $5 in your winnings than going to WinBet, where the odds are a lot less. So why not put an extra $5 in your pocket if you're going to make that bet anyway? And that's the type of app BetStamp is. It's going to tell you where to put your money. The only way to get an edge in online sports betting is by having multiple accounts at different sports books. So download the BetStamp app today. Use promo code HardKnicksLife. And after you download BetStamp, DM Craig or Blandy or myself on Twitter or send us an email at HardKnicksLife@gmail.com to find out how we can help you score even bigger with BetStamp.
Yeah. Probably just email us for when Twitter goes away.
Right. Craig believes Twitter is going to be gone.
I sent my last tweet out tonight. So
that's what you meant by that?
Yeah. All right, Blandy, you pick him. Pick him.
Okay. Let's start off with Ralph. Why not?
All right, guys. I'm not going to give you a blow-by-blow this week because of the West Coast trip, and I like to get my sleep, so I don't watch the games on time. However, I wanted to let you know that I believe in Tibbs. I know this is an unpopular opinion in Knicks land, but I believe that he's being flexible this year, maybe because he's fighting for his job, but he's not staying the same. He's making changes. He tried to go fast, played more people because he was going fast. That didn't work quite so well because of the chemistry problem. So he shortened his lineup. I think he's doing the best he can, and it's kind of up to the players. That's my opinion.
Look, that's fair. Okay. Everybody can have an opinion, and look, if there are people out there that feel that Tibbs is doing a good job, they should praise him for it because it's not fair if they keep quiet. And yeah, I can see Ralph's point. He is doing things differently than he had done before.
Sure.
Right? Giving minutes to guys he hadn't before. He's playing more, leaning on Randall and Obi together. Because whatever you got to do to get Obi.
Took 48 out of the starting lineup. Took 48.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, you can praise Thibodeau for that. Absolutely. I'm not going to fight that.
I just still don't think Thibodeau's taking us to the next level ever. So I just really don't believe like they'd be playing any worse with someone else, you know?
Right.
But would they be playing any better?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't
who knows?
Matter.
It matters, but but I don't think he's adding anything. Like, I think that what happened these two nights was all the team. It's just that was all the players, personally. All their effort.
So there's nothing to do with him.
I honestly don't think he's... Well,
that's not fair either, though, because...
So when they were losing, it was his fault, but when they're winning, it's not his... It has nothing to do with him.
Yeah, because we were killing him that the lack of effort on the court falls on the coach because he's not motivating them enough, getting them up enough. And now you're giving the credit to a dinner and not the coach? That's not... I mean, that's
clearly,
not completely
that seemed
fair
to be
either.
The catalyst for the two games. I mean, it's not... Is but, it just maybe it's just a coincidence then.
Maybe part of the dinner was them rallying around the coach and saying, we need to be more accountable because look at all the crap that's going on and we're the ones playing bad. So it's not... Maybe that's why they had the dinner and that's why they came out the way that they have because they heard what they're saying about the coach and they don't want the coach to go. And so they're doing their best to play better for him. Mm-hmm. You can't blame it on him when they do poorly and when they win, give all the credit to them and not give him any credit.
Well, I can blame a little bit of the players not being accountable on him because he doesn't hold people. I don't think he holds people.
Well, he doesn't hold Julius accountable.
So that's a major problem I have with him. So yeah, why would they hold each other accountable? Why is Julius going to hold himself accountable when the coach won? Maybe this lasts for a couple games with Julius. I don't think it's going to last that long for him unless the coach holds him accountable. He's going to start slacking and no one's going to hold him accountable. He's going to go back to what he was doing until there's another team dinner or until it's so fucking embarrassing that everyone has to like get together and they're basically doing it because they're totally embarrassed at how they're playing. It's going to go back to how it was. How long is this going to last, Barry? How long is diving on the floor Julius going to last?
Probably not long, but we keep going back to the same thing. They're going to win a few, and then they're going to lose, and then they're going to win, and the whole season is going to be like this.
Great!
The whole season.
So we'll suffer! We'll suffer forever, Jay! So what? Fine! Why do we even do a fucking stupid show then? Why?
I'm just saying... Like,
okay, so we'll win a few, we'll lose a few, we'll be expected. Miserable, we'll be happy. This will be the whole season. It's what we expected.
I'm not miserable in the that's how you seem to be.
But what's the point?
You're like up and then you're down, and then you're up and you're down. Like, it's like you're expecting something that's not going to happen. I don't understand.
I expect players to play hard every night, all right? And Julius can't do that. That's all I expect. And I'm upset that they don't.
Maybe this is the type of game that gets him to play hard every night, though. There's also that possibility. All the adulation, all the credit, right? I mean, come on. It wasn't only him on the offensive end that propelled them. It was a huge part of it, but his defense was equally as huge, and it came down to his hustle and his intensity. So maybe that will catapult him to continue that way of playing.
Well, we're just gonna have to fucking cross our fingers and hope that's the case because our coach isn't gonna keep them at that level, and that's
his
fucking
job. The
games
keep coming. We're gonna see what happens Friday night in Golden State, and see how this West Coast continues to go.
These guys have to keep them fucking motivated. Apparently, mm-hmm. Tibbs is just gonna play. He's gonna play RJ when he launches 18 shots up and can't hit anything, night after night. I was honestly hoping he would put Fournier in. That's how bad it was. Wow. I fucking hate Fournier.
I hate Devin Fournier.
All right, I need a total change of direction here. I feel too worked up. Why don't you play Murder
you
Jim?
Think?
Murder Jim. I need someone to calm me down.
Okay, here we go. Do I need to play it or can I just do that? It's essentially the same thing.
I would prefer to hear Murder Jim.
What's up, guys? It's Murder Jim. Listen, first of all, you guys want to come out to San Francisco and hang out with fucking motherfucking Murder Jim? Come on out, dude. I'm cool. I'm very cool. I'm an easy hang. I'm a charming motherfucker. Thanks, fucking whatever. We beat this fucking cocksucker, fucking Danny Ainge's Jazz. That was a cool game. I mean, it was nice. But also, this sucks because I think this is going to be the whole season. I think it's going to be like, set me free, why don't you, babe? Keep me hanging on. It's going to be like a shitty fucking blowout. And then, like, these wings where you're like, okay, I think we're good. Maybe things are falling in place.
Exactly.
And then, like, another shitty fucking win. The schedule, the road ahead is tough, man. And you know where the Knicks are coming, man, this week? Right here. Right here in my fucking hometown. My girlfriend's a fucking Warriors fan, so I hope I still got a girlfriend after we beat their ass. I don't know, man. It's a hard Knicks life, because mediocrity fucking sucks. 500 record is really fucking hard to cheer for. No, but it's a good one tonight, so let's be happy. Let's be happy tonight, fellas. Can we just be happy? Let's just be happy just for this moment.
Yeah.
I can't.
That sums it up.
It does suck. It sucks living this
way. That's going to be the theme song of the fucking year.
That's the theme song of our every year. It's like that.
It does.
No,
every,
not always.
But it's the
a
reality.
Lot of times we're at the bottom of the fucking ocean. We can't even see the light. We can't even get close to getting some air. We're dying. We're choking. We're sub 500. At least we're at 500. We said it last week. There's nothing wrong with 500 when you've been so shitty for 20 years and you've had two bright spots in the last 20 years. 500 can be maybe not bright, but it's not so fucking dim.
Does it have to be giving up 150 points to a shitty team? To winning back-to-back games on the West Coast trip. Does it have to be like that extreme every night? Come on.
It is what it is. Listen.
Show me that this team can get one win against a fucking great team.
That's all Barry wants. One epic win against the greatest
team
in
the
NBA.
Because until we get that, I mean, I'm not going to fucking throw a parade that they came back down 10 against a good team that was missing their MVP fucking player. Come on! It was a great win. I was excited.
We talked about what? Beating
Denver.
Milwaukee?
Yeah. What teams do you want to beat?
Meaning a Bones Highland led Denver Nuggets, you know, and Jamal Murray.
But I mean, like, what are you talking about? Like a statement win against the Bucks? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that would be nice.
Like against Donovan Mitchell at home when you're sitting courtside without me and Jay?
No, even that.
Win?
They're not that's a fucking. Not a they're not
that's
a.
Not a statement
no,
win.
No. The Bucks.
I mean,
the Celtics.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
Phoenix.
Phoenix. I'll tell you, a healthy Phoenix. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well,
Golden State's not there right now, so even if they come away and they win three, which is very impressive to go on the road. I mean, something the Knicks have never fucking done. To go 3-0 against Utah, Denver, Golden State, that would be amazing as well. But it's still not the Golden State, you know, of the past six, seven
All right,
years.
Blandy, you remember, write this down, Blandy. You remember this stuff. Remember, the next time Barry's excited about a win, we're going to knock him down. Because we're only going to get excited.
I'm not taking your excitement away
we're
from you.
We're only
going to
get excited
Craig.
About
Enjoy
wins
it.
Against championship caliber teams. That's it.
Look. When you can win two in a row, if we win ten
in a row, unless it included beating a championship caliber team, doesn't matter.
that would be an amazing feat, Craig. I would not take that away from you either. That would be a statement. You can win 10 in a row in this league. That's a statement. I don't care who the schedule has on it. That would be a statement for me. There's your statement. Mm. I'm just saying this is still a 500 fucking team. 500 team is going to have some great wins. And they're going to have some horrible losses, which we had in the last few games.
Barry, nobody's claiming here that the Knicks are all of a sudden great again. We're
okay.
not.
Okay. All right.
We're just
not
celebrating
just obvious,
a great win. We're just celebrating a great win.
Good.
We still suck.
Let's continue.
We still suck.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're all in agreement. We still suck.
Great.
Julius is not what we saw the other night. I hope he is.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago, Julius, right there.
That was better than 2 years ago, Julius, I'd say.
Yeah. Two-way Julius.
Come on, Blandy. Bye, Julius. B-I, Julius.
Oh, okay. All right, let's keep going here.
It's Dr. Dickey up in this bitch. Let's fucking go.
Dr. Dickey here. Let's go, Thibodeau, bah, 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 bah. Let's go, Thibodeau, bah, 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 bah. Also, Julius Randle, GG's, bro. Minus your free throws, GG's.
I don't know what. No. I don't know. I don't know.
He got in and out of there.
What's GT's? GG's? What is that?
I don't know,
is
man.
Is GG's a special cookie that they have at Crumble that he's going to mail to
maybe
us?
GT's?
I don't know. Gingerbread? Followed up his free throw comment. You know, it was 9 for 13 against Denver. Missed a couple of big ones at the end, but what's GG's?
Hmm. We're going to, you know, someone's going to call us out for being idiots for this, but... I don't know. I don't know what that is. Must be an Atlanta thing. That's where he's from.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I've got no response to that voicemail. Thanks for calling, Dickie. Okay.
All right. So, yep. Giving his flowers to Thibodeau, to Randle.
Think both, he likes well Thibodeau? Deserved. Likes Thibodeau.
Okay.
Hey, boys. It's Brandon. Man, I honestly thought we were going to lose that one last night against Denver. Woke up this morning and I was like, oh my God, we won by three. Yeah, I understand we're not playing against Joker and Aaron Gordon or whoever, but it was still a tough team. You know, but I got to hand it to Julius, man. Julius came out 34 points, I think. Yeah, this is a good one. This is a good win. We are 2-0 on the road. This stretch. This is good. This is good. Let's see if we can keep it rolling. Maybe I'm guessing the, that players only meeting was exactly what they needed to bond or whatever. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Subdued Brandon. Went to bed, assumed we were going to lose, woke up and we won. How often does that happen as a Knicks fan? How often? Barry, like, you know, Barry doesn't blow, he's, you know, not blown away, so.
I acknowledged it was a great win. I was excited. It was awesome. I'm just saying that it's still a 500 team that has not had a statement win. That's all. It was a great win. Don't you want, in an 82-game season, don't you want to have that one game where they fucking surprise the competition? Like the cream of the crop competition? Hmm. And again, they haven't had too many opportunities to do that, right? It's only 15 games in. I'm waiting for that one.
All right.
And again, this might not be the team to do it. I'll be waiting all season for it, perhaps.
Well, yeah, you want one of those games that is that, but also the competition plays great. Just not that they just played like shit.
Right. Right.
Right. Right, but yeah. you also got to realize that statement game, whatever it is, if it comes, could be followed up by a 25-point loss to the Houston Rockets. So
yep.
Oh, statement game came for me. All right, came for me, Barry. All right, we got one last voicemail, right, Blandy? One more?
Yeah, we do.
DJ
from across the Atlantic.
Hi guys, DJ here. After the Denver Nuggets W, outstanding performance by Julius Randle tonight. Outstanding. Wow. This was very impressive. Either way, offensive or defensive. He had a great job tonight. Brunson as well, solid game as usual. But RJ was... RJ was off tonight, and I think it has to be Tip's job to put him out. He deserved no minute tonight after he clunked 1 of 5 or 1 of 6 in the first quarter. I don't know. I would put him out, but Tip's puts him in and or leaves him in, and But other way, I think RJ has to go back on defense after he pricks all these shots and stop it. Sometimes he has to stop it and go back on defense and clear the way there. Anyway, I hope RJ will come back on Friday. But this was a huge win tonight, a huge win for our Knickerbockers. And I hope to continue this way to perform. Tips 9-man rotation click tonight again. And yeah, let's go Knicks. Peace out, DJ.
Yeah, of course, wow. It's Thibodeau's job to sit down.
This feels so good. This feels so good, man.
To sit down, RJ.
Wow.
Again, look, we talk about plus minus, and a lot of times doesn't mean a thing. I mean, this game, come on, RJ Barrett, a team low minus 18 in the plus minus.
And
on the reverse side of that, Cam Reddish, who didn't have like a standout game if you look at the box score, yet he was a team high plus 13. And I think those are two examples where plus minus does show a little bit something where this team is at and where these players are at fitting into this group. But it's clear as day.
Imagine,
RJ should not have been playing as much as he did.
Can you guys imagine how bad this team would be? Like we've established we're not good, right? But how bad would we be without Jalen Brunson on this team this season?
Yeah.
It'd be bad.
Like, can you imagine the heat that that Julius and Thibodeau would be getting right now if the Knicks were, 5-10 or whatever without Jalen Brunson? Like, he is saving, in my opinion, he's saving this team right now. He's at least making us mediocre. Without him, we would be the same or worse maybe than last season, I think.
Oh, yeah, it would be awful. Yeah, no, he's been so good, consistent, and just, yeah, really, really important to have on the court down the stretch of these games. He's been, yeah.
Incredible.
Crucial to where they're at. Yeah, you don't even want to start thinking about where they'd be at without him.
I mean, so far, remember we had that podcast with Knicks Film School and everyone was predicting his numbers, what they would be, and everyone was saying like what they would be shocked if they were. And they are the shocking numbers that nobody thought
he'd right be up at seven up. Assists.
He's got 20 points. He's averaging 20.7 assists a game, which is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if some Julius Randle fans would disagree, but he's by far, and I think we even all argued about this, he is by far the best player in this team so far this season. By far. Yeah. I don't know who else. I don't know if you guys still disagree with that. But
no, he's
you
been the most consistent person.
You can't give me one player that's better than him on this team.
No, no. For everything that he does, yeah, absolutely. And again, like you said, goes to making Julius Randle better, for sure.
Yeah. Obviously, without him, they'd be lost. So thankful to have him this Thanksgiving. See that? Y'all hear that
honorable
music.
Honorable mention to Obi Toppin.
Obi Toppin.
Obi Toppin.
It's going to be in the 3-point shooting contest for All-Star. Y'all hear that music.
Obi Toppin.
It is time for the news with Blanderson Hooper.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, let's do this. So there's a bunch of stories here. Going to start off. It's kind of
tangential. What's a bunch, Blandy?
There's 17.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, I'm just kidding. There are not 17. There's like 15. So we start off with a story that's sort of tangential to the NBA, but I don't know if you guys saw this, that Isaac Humphries, who is...
What does that mean, tangential, Barry? Do you know?
Somebody that dresses in women's clothing.
Yeah.
But that's a transvestite.
So somebody that feels like they're trapped in the other gender's body.
Tangential? No. Tangential? Transgenital? Can you use words that us and our audience will understand?
We all have college degrees here, right?
Yes.
What was the word again?
Like tangential, like a tangent. It's kind of off. It's not, it's like a little bit off.
Okay.
But it's still... Right.
Thank you.
Okay. So Isaac Humphries, who plays for Melbourne United in the NBL, which is the major basketball league in Australia, and who had a cup of coffee with, I think, all the Hawks, as well as the Magic, as well as their G League teams, came out the other day sharing that publicly that he is gay.
Oh, and I was not far off, Craig.
No, that is tangential.
He is the... only openly gay player in a top-tier men's basketball league. He's only the second to ever come out after Jason Collins, who came out however many years ago that was. He made the announcement via social media the other day. He had the whole thing videotaped, as he told the members of his team. And like I said, the number of men who have come out and said that they are gay professional athletes in the major top-tier sports is very, very slim. So that the NBA put out a statement saying that they were really happy for him, and that it was a really tough thing to do, and that they support him in everything that he does.
Yeah, and let me just make a point to say I did not hear the story. This is the first time I'm hearing it, so I didn't mean to make like some stupid joke regarding
it's not stupid
his actual situation.
Not stupid at all. Come on.
Yeah, we as athletes have a responsibility to set examples for people. The truth is there are so many people in other worlds that are struggling every single day and don't know how to get up, don't know how to exist, and he wants to represent those people. He said he finally came out because he went to a dark place where he thought for a while about taking his own life. And, you know, he got through that, and he wants other people to know that they can get through it too.
That's good. Okay. That's pretty important.
That is good. Yeah. Barry, however, not impressed. You know, Barry is waiting for, like, he needs a statement coming out. He wants, like, a great player to come out as gay. He's not. Maybe we can talk about this all we want. Not impressive, right, Barry? We need someone that we all know, someone who, like, a 20-point-a-game score or something like that, come out.
Like, I never heard of this guy before. He played two seasons at the University of Kentucky. So obviously he must be pretty good. Hillary Kauthen, the clinical psychologist or the former clinical psychologist for the Spurs, has settled her lawsuit against the Spurs already, which is pretty crazy. In a statement from her attorney, it says the parties have agreed to resolve the matter. The entire case is over and we have no further comment. So that's not the kind of thing that usually would be settled so quickly. This has nothing to do with the criminal charges against Primo and whether or not the sheriff is going to pursue those. But this just means that she and the team have come to an agreement. Kyrie, according to league sources, is expected to be cleared to play Sunday at Barclays against the Grizzlies. So there's that. LaMelo Ball, we talked, I think it was just last week.
How soon before Kyrie is out for an extended period of time for just any reason? How many games is he back before some other political statement, fuck up, injury, anything? What's the under over on that?
I think like he'll 10, be back a bit.
15 games?
I think he'll be around for a bit.
Yeah, the rest of the season? You going to go that far?
That's a stretch. I wouldn't go that far. A month or two, at least.
So LaMelo had missed the first batch of the games in the season because of his ankle, because of surgery. Came back, played a couple of games, and then Wednesday night he was running on by the sideline and he stepped awkwardly on the foot of a fan sitting courtside, rolled his ankle, the same one that he had had the surgery on, didn't practice Thursday, not playing Friday versus Cleveland. And according to Steve Clifford, they don't know how long he'll be out. He did have x-rays, though, and they came back negative.
It's the only sport where they have fans this close with no fucking barrier or anything to the court, you know, be it football, baseball, hockey. It's fucking nuts that this shit happens. A referee got tripped over somebody's leg the other day as well. It's fucking nuts.
A couple of players not doing so great. James Wiseman has been assigned to the Golden State Warriors G League affiliate in Santa Cruz for an extended period of time after not performing well while coming off the bench. Wiseman's the former number 2 overall pick. Yeah, and he is not playing. I mean, they're obviously as a whole not playing well. They're struggling. I mean, didn't Steph score 50, I think, the other night, and they lost? Which is crazy when you think about it. So he's going to the G League. Along the same lines, Ben Simmons, the Nets held a player-only meeting on apparently October 29th. It's come out now to talk about his performance. And they apparently people in the room have become exasperated with his performance, his lack of being able to play, and then just the fact that he's playing like crap.
Are you guys surprised at how he's playing?
How bad? I'm surprised at how bad he is.
Me too.
I think I saw a stat that said he had more personal fouls this year than field goals and free throws put together.
Yeah.
Like 35 personal fouls and like 33 free throws plus field goals. How's that even possible?
I was never a huge fan of his just because, you know, whatever. I didn't really like his attitude, even as a rookie and whatnot. But I always respected his game and his talent. It's bizarre to me. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and then you heard him on that J.J. Redick podcast or whatever. And again, it's only words and this and that. But it's like, all right, you know, whatever. This guy had a ton of fucking time to go through whatever he had to go through. But, yeah, the fact that he's doing this badly,
he's having trouble with his knee.
An all-star and, you know, the whole thing. It's crazy to me how horrible he's doing.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And then just really quickly, two former players in some trouble. We talked a week or two ago about Ben Gordon, who apparently punched his 10-year-old son in the face at LaGuardia Airport when he dropped something. He's in trouble again because he apparently attacked or assaulted two security guards at a McDonald's in Chicago recently. Hmm. So you can add that to his resume. And then Tim Hardaway recently was on the broadcast for the Warriors game. It was their Run TMC broadcast. It was him, Chris Mullin, and Mitch Richmond. And he said something. They went away for a commercial break, and when they came back, he had to apologize because at one point he was talking about a guy on the Spurs playing a little bit too aggressively on defense and said, "You all thought that was great D. I thought that was just raping him." So he had to come back on and apologize for using that terminology and say, obviously, that he, you know, he shouldn't have used that term. Awesome. Hmm. And that's the way the basketball bounces. He's he's
no stranger.
He's gotten in trouble before for stuff. Yeah. Right? They were the homophobic remarks, right? Yeah, probably what kept him out of the Hall of Fame for a while.
I would love to criticize him for that, but I feel like that's a phrase that any fan has said in the past when someone gets fouled.
Yeah, but nowadays, probably not the best.
Not on television, no.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've never said, oh, he raped him, you know. Use that all the time. Not all the
time. You want to cut that out?
No, not cutting anything out tonight, Landy.
Right, I mean, I wouldn't say that either, but... But to Craig's point, like you say, oh, he murdered him or this or that. It's all, you know, heinous things.
You've never said he raped him?
Yeah, like, I'm not saying I haven't, yeah.
I've never said
probably
murdered.
Probably not in a long time, but, you know, there comes a time where you have to stop using certain... You're right. On the air is probably not the best time
to use. There's 100 worse things he could have said.
I guess, but I mean, like...
Lee said 100 worse things on this show than that today. All right, guys, you all hear that music. That's the end of the show. I don't know what I was just doing there. That's the end of the show.
I just finished.
You didn't even bounce the ball yet. We're out.
Blandy.
No, I didn't. He didn't even bounce the ball yet, Blandy. But we're
he did bounce the ball.
I heard the ball.
Oh my god, I missed that. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Are you feeling all right? Did you take something?
When did you bounce the ball after or before the rape?
It was during.
During the rape?
During
the
rape.
Come on, Lanny, that is the most insensitive thing.
This is not where we were going.
You thought the rape talk was done.
That's going to do it for today's show.
Wow.
All right.
This you can follow is really
that was too far.
On Twitter, at HardNickSlab. You can follow Barry at, Barry at Barry Dworkin and Blandy at Blandy Hooper. And you can call us
at 516-33-MESH-1. That's 516-336-3741.
I got to tell you guys a funny story that happened to me at a bodega the other day, a deli bodega in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I walk in right behind like five friends. It's a deli I go to constantly, like every day. So I'm a regular there. There's never a line, but now today I'm behind these five people. Look like they're new to the place, right? So they're in line. We're behind like these like aisles of chips and shit. And I'm right behind them. No one's behind me. And this one guy, the guy at the front of the friends, like five people ahead of me, turns around. They're all trying to figure out what to order. He turns around, looks right at me, says, "Craig, what do you order?" And looking at him, like right in his eyes, and I'm like, I'm trying to figure out who this fucking guy is. And he stares right back and he's like, what do you order? And I was like, still, I'm just looking at him like, what? See, I turn around, like, there's nobody behind me.
But he said,
and then, he said, yeah, I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, did I imagine that? And he goes, Craig, what do you order? And he's staring right in my fucking eyes. And I turn around and finally, this dude like 15 feet behind me, who's like looking at something else, like in the store, comes walking up. He's like, oh, I usually get a club sandwich. I was like, I don't talk to people like out in public, right?
Right.
But I was so like thrown off that I was like, I said to them, I was like, holy shit, you guys, that just confused the shit out of me, because my name is Craig. And they were all like, oh my God, that's crazy. Dude, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? He's looking right in my eyes saying, Craig, what do you order? And I was about to be like, no, I usually get a breakfast sandwich, even though it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but that's what I like. And imagine I did that.
Yeah, you would have been the crazy one.
Oh my God.
It was, because he would have looked at you and be like, who the fuck are you, dude? Why are you answering my question?
Dude, I can't tell you how... It was like he was looking into my soul saying, Craig, what do you order? And I was like, what did I? Did I eat one of those edibles, Jay? That's what I was wondering. Fucking wild. All right, Barry, give me the upcoming schedule. Or give everybody the upcoming schedule.
All that matters is Friday night, because we're coming up with the third game of this West Coast trip against Golden State.
Statement win?
No, it's not. But if you could go fucking 3-0 against Utah, Denver, Golden State, I don't care. That's very, very good. I won't call it a statement. It's very, very good. And it's going to be challenging.
Let's get Murder Jim to break up with his girlfriend on Friday night in New York. I mean, that's all we want. All we want is for that to happen. Oh, Golden State 6-9 on the season. They are in the tankathon standings, amazingly. They've got a 29% chance at a top four pick, the Golden State Warriors,
for
Christ's
sake, seriously? Go fuck yourself, man. I mean, can't you... And you watch them end up somehow with like the first pick and they get Victor Wembanyama or something.
I know. Latest tankathon standings, unfortunately, after the two back-to-back unimpressive wins. According to Barry, we have the 15th pick, the 16th pick, and the 21st pick in this year's NBA draft.
Look, you can't say any win is unimpressive for this squad, all right? Now, I did not say unimpressive, so don't put words in my mouth. That's not fair.
But you did not say impressive.
The Denver win was impressive.
That was so soft.
It was. Honestly speaking, it was impressive.
All right, let's see if 3-0 will impress Barry in a few days. We'll be back Friday night after that game, right? Isn't that what we said? Oh, no, we're not back tomorrow night. This is our second show of the week.
What? Are you crazy?
You don't want to go after the Golden State game? What if we win the third in a row?
Look, I'll be lucky if I could stay
awake
for that game.
I won't even be home. I'm not even going to be home. So. Wow. Got another matinee, though, on Sunday. That'll be nice.
3 o'clock? 3:30?
3:30. Yeah.
That will be good. All right, guys. Until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
It's a hard Knicks life.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.